Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Us.
I have an idea now.
Choo choo choo. Pew.
Bum, bum, bum. Brian
Peter. Welcome in, Peter.
It is episode 338. I don't know why I say it that way, because that's just how I'm reading it. It's 338.
Hey, you know what? I just got to throw this out there because I got a random text message from he who shall not be named because he's mad at me. But he told me to stop spreading rumors. And I said, oh, no, what'd I say? And he goes, B-Movies Beyond episode 318. And I was like, what did I say? And he goes, stop telling people I'm the next director for Star Wars. I said, oh, I was like, well, he goes, the screenplay sucks and I'm not attached to it. And I said, fair enough. So he who shall not be named is Aaron Tanguma.
Oh, man, he's way behind, man.
Hey, at least we know what episode he's on and yeah, he listens.
That's fun.
And I love and just shout out to Aaron, the future director of Star Wars.
So like months from now, he's again come back to stop spreading rumors.
He's gonna be all pissy with me again.
But Aaron doesn't know this is how things get done. You just tell lies and then things happen.
Yeah, you just fib the truth a little bit until it works, you know. Fake it till you make it. I mean, yeah. We've faked a podcast forever until we made it, and he made the music for it.
That's right.
I think
fake it till you make it.
I think he had inspiration from the planetarium in the museum. Have you ever been there?
The museum?
The planetarium.
Planetarium?
Planetarium.
Planetarium.
Yeah. You don't get the Simpsons joke, the reference?
I don't think I've ever seen that. I've seen the Simpsons, but I don't think I've seen that episode.
They go to the planetarium and they don't. Oh no, that's South Park. I'm sorry. Where the guy in the planetarium can't say planetarium right, so he says planetarium.
Planetarium. That's fun.
But all those sounds are in the spaceship in the planetarium.
Okay,
we should go. Take the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need to plan a time to take them places. Let's do it. Go to the planetarium.
Anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Ellie, I mean, really, like, she's almost two. Like, she just loves just going outside and walking. So there you go. She doesn't.
Isn't it nice when they're at the age where they just enjoy just new things and everything is new to them?
Yeah, but then when it's time to go, it's just awful because they don't want to let go of that new thing. So
very true.
Yeah, that part sucks, but yeah, everything else is great. So, you know.
Hey, I like your little fade on your haircut. Looks good. This is not the reaction I was expecting, but
I'm allergic to compliments. Well, that's funny is my wife was like, what did you do? Like, she doesn't like it, but I was like, I like it.
Did you get the Travis Kelce cut?
Apparently I did. You know, he invented the fade. You knew that,
Travis
right?
Kelce, mid-30s white dude, invented the fade.
That's right.
From Kansas. Where is I don't care. I don't care to look him up. Peter, well, yeah, so what else? What's new with you? Apparently we're going to go kill it tomorrow at some trivia night. Yeah.
Yeah. Comedy movie trivia.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I think we're going to crush it.
Do we change our clothes or do we just go like this?
I'm pretty sure I'll probably wear some B movies and beyond. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to represent. Actually, I mean, like, is that what you're supposed to do? Or are you supposed to let other people represent?
You represent until, okay, how I figure you made it. This is how I know you made it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is when you either see your merchandise at Goodwill or on homeless people.
Okay, I got it. But yeah, I think of, you know, we just had the Super Bowl, right? Like, mm-hmm. they make both shirts, right? Super Bowl champions, you know. And they always take those, whoever lost, they ship those off to, like, these third world countries to wear. Like, man, those are the collector's items, man. We need to go to, like, Africa and try to find some of that stuff.
You think they do it anymore now that the NFL is more pre, there's a better script and more predictable than wrestling?
What? So you're saying they just burn it? Like, ah, shit, burn it.
I don't think they make it.
You don't think? No, dude, they have that shit like right away. There's no way.
Not this year.
It's not fresh off the prints.
This year was totally all Kansas City. Roger Goodell knew it. Taylor Swift knew it. Travis Kelce knew it. Ice Spice was there.
You did say the script. So, I mean, ever since they started doing that, I mean, I guess they don't need to make double the batch, right? No,
they save a ton of money, dude.
Yeah, very smart, NFL. Very smart.
just write the script for your program, and we know the ending, so it reduces so much waste.
There we go. Well, Ryan, we better win tomorrow. Like, if we don't come in first place, you know, we might have to quit this podcast.
That's pretty heavy. I'm not going to tell anybody what our score is. And
okay. All right. But we're going to bring our A game.
Unless we win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even top three, I'm fine. Even if there's only three people there, I will brag about that.
Dude, we beat your ass.
Yeah.
You did not stand a chance against the B-moviers.
Yeah. We have our out too, Ryan. It's like, oh man, this is comedy. This isn't our genre.
Yeah.
If you wait till B-movies come up, then we'll do it.
Wait till there's time travel.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I'll crush it. Ooh. Yeah. Well, Ryan, it's good to be back. I think we're going to have a great episode of, you know, 338. We are getting so close to 365. And we got some good trailers.
Good trailers? Yes, we do.
Well, there is like two, maybe three. There's some interesting ones. They're going to be fun to talk about. But we have our long-awaited X-Men 97 trailer, so that's going to be fun to talk about.
Dude, I'll get into that when we start talking about it. But
yeah, this is the teaser, so people keep on listening to the end. Yeah. News, whole bunch of, it looks like Disney news and some Star Wars. Well, we already talked about our Star Wars news. The Crow reboot.
Teaser there.
And then, some great movies to talk about. Ryan, X-Men, and I did Maniac Cop.
Oh yeah, those showed up. I thought you were gonna do the Iron Claw. You were excited about that. But.
Maybe
closer to Oscar time, right?
Are they nominated? I don't even know who's nominated with the Oscars.
Like, when is the Oscars? I thought it was like the week before Super Bowl.
No, I think it's like, is it in March? Do we miss it already?
We missed the nominations. I know that for sure.
March 10th.
The day before the worst day in the world.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
March 11th?
Yeah.
What happened on that day?
Everything bad. Here.
Oh, is that when COVID started?
That's when COVID started. That's when the KKK was formed. That's when a tsunami in Japan took out half of like the cities over there. And Jeremy's birthday.
No. I see. Oh man. Did you see this on Netflix though? Like there's like they have some award show now?
No, but that's awesome.
It's the actual Screen Actor something.
Isn't the Tony's
Guild Awards?
Screen Actor Guild Award?
Yeah, the 30th annual Screen Actor Guild Awards is going to be streamed live globally on Netflix Saturday, February 4th or 24th.
Netflix is really hitting that streaming service.
Dude, well, because this is what they're doing, man. It's like, all these places, like they're trying to like get like, okay, now we need live events, right? We talked about it with the wrestling. Now they're getting like an actual awards show. Like they are trying to they're trying to become like a network channel, right? Where you have to come here. You have to have the streaming service. I mean, this is no different than Amazon having like Thursday night football, right? Like you have to go to their service, their channel to watch this shit. So, I mean, that's just what's going to happen, man. We're going to pay for the channels that we want, basically the streaming services. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how,
cable just redefined
it. Exactly. That is exactly what it is. And that's why I'm like, I don't understand how cable's still alive. I don't know why people pay for cable. But now they're adding commercials into everything again. So it's just, we can't escape, Ryan. We just can't escape.
You cannot escape ads. Mm-hmm. Our world is nothing but advertisements. It doesn't matter what we do. Everything is an advertisement. Mama. And speaking of which, stay tuned to B-Movies and Beyond. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and podcasts anywhere.
That's right. Wherever you listen, we're there. All right.
What?
What's that noise?
I have so many questions.
Here's a question. If you were able to mash up two different genres in a movie, what two would you pick? So, for example, the example would be Starship Troopers and Terminator. One are the robots coming after and killing you from the future, and then the other ones are bugs. Space bugs.
Okay, so mashing up two franchises.
They don't have to be specific. Like, I wouldn't say like X-Men and Ghostbusters. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, you know what's better than that, and I already have read it multiple times. There's multiple comic books on it. There's so many. But Ghostbusters and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman. Dude, pretty much you put anything with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's going to be solid.
Okay. Out of all of those, which one would you like to see made into a movie?
Well, they already did Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
A live-action movie.
Oh, live-action. Teenage... You know what? Here's the thing. I hope that we go so far with the Ninja Turtles that they make it to space. And so I'm going to do a mashup of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And hell, you already said it. Why don't we do Starship Troopers? I think that would be pretty cool.
Whoa. Some giant turtles fighting giant bugs?
Yeah. Huh. Right? Unless you can think of a better like space movie that's out there. I was also thinking like aliens. Ooh, Predators. Oh,
Ninja Turtles versus Predators?
Yeah. But in space, you know, you can't. I don't know. I want to see them like flying around and doing cool shit. So maybe it's better with like aliens.
How about this? Ninja Turtles and Battletoads, the movie.
Well, yeah.
And they fight the biker mice from Mars. See, now we're getting all your space things in there.
Yep. Oh, maybe that's it. The biker mice from Mars take them to space.
To fight the Battletoads.
That would
and be Street cool. Sharks.
I like it.
You could tell we had no questions prepared for this episode.
What about you?
I would mash up. I've been saying this a long time. I want my Fast and Furious and Street Sharks.
Oh, yeah.
I think just those two type of movies go hand in hand, and it would make so much sense. Like, they could even do like a scene where Dom is like passing off this like rad ass Challenger to Riptide, and they're like, "Thanks, Dom," and then he starts revving the car, motorcycle, whatever, and like they blow up this dam, and all the sharks are like flying down the dam. And then the Fast and Furious family's like, oh, it's like family. Or they could just do the entire Fast and Furious family cast as Street Sharks in their own Street Shark live action movie. And it could be Fast 12 that the crew turns into space creatures or shark creatures and fights the Ninja Turtles. I'd be down with that, too.
I like it, Ryan. I like it. Yeah. Did you see my little Instagram posting on a new cover for us with the two sharks?
I did see that. Yes.
So we never talked about that, but since you were talking about Street Sharks, like that's what was going through my head. And so Microsoft has a new, a new AI driven designer thing. And so I was messing around with that. And I put like two Street Sharks promoting, the greatest podcast in the world, like B Movies and Beyond. And like, that's what they came up with. And the thing that sucks is like, I think what you missed is it was kind of, I'm not too good at this stuff, but like it cut off the top of it where it just said, it says like two sharks, just raging on the streets.
Two sharks ruling the streets, B Movies and Beyond.
Yeah. The tag for it is awesome. Dang,
Microsoft's AI is so, anything Microsoft has done lately is just so behind. Like,
I tried some other ones.
I want to do this.
It's built in. Like, it was with my Bing? It's just built in with the Microsoft stuff. So I don't know. Yeah. It cracked me up though. When I was asking for all these things, I've tried other apps too. And I asked like to do like Ninja Turtles, and I gotta say, I think the Microsoft one actually did a better job, but just the tagline where that just came out of nowhere, just two street sharks, tearing up the streets. So I was like, man, that is such a good tagline for us. So I don't know. I just thought about that. It cracked me up, and I'm going to probably try to do more just because it's fun. Maybe I need to ask that to do Street Sharks and Fast and the Furious and see what happens.
You have to sign in for Bing? Oh my gosh. Why's everything got to sign in, Peter?
Yeah, it was from in work. I was not using good time management with my day, and I was messing around with that stuff. So, but that just
that's what you got to do at work sometimes.
Absolutely, you got to do that.
Promoting B Movies and Beyond. Let's see what I can do real quick.
You're doing it right now. Okay,
doing it right now as we podcast. I'll try and create that. 1 of 5. Space images. I like it. Oh, dude. They came out awesome.
Let me see.
It's good. Can you see this? Look at this guy over here.
What the? That is good. Welcome to B Movies and Beyond.
Look at this one. Oh, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you watch an entire movie created out of AI? Like, have you seen that there's full AI, like, they can do a full video based off your prompt?
They can do videos now?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't they already kind of do that? Or haven't they been doing that? Because they've asked, like, it to, like, write scripts and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
Here's going to change what's going on. Is that why we had a big writer strike? Or was that the
part of it? That's part of it. I think all of them. I think now there's new, like, rules about AI and basically how they can use it. Would I watch it? Sure. But, like, the thing with AI, like, the whole, those ChatGPT, whatever, like, dude, like, they're just scouring the internet and just grabbing all this information and then combining it and putting it in, putting it back out there. So you're just getting a mashup of other things, you know, which I guess that's what we're already getting. And I guess that's how ideas kind of happen, right? But I guess my point is that I don't know if you're actually getting anything original. You're just getting mashups. You're just getting reused content. But, I mean, I feel like when's the last time you actually watched something that was like, wow, that was really original, you know?
True.
Just doesn't happen too often. So that's why I'm like, I'd watch it because I feel like I'm already doing that.
Peter.
I like it.
We've wasted so much time on a question we never had. Let's talk about some trailers.
Okay.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
Buddy. Sasquatch Sunset. You know, let me just start off. I just asked you a question if you'd watch a movie completely generated from AI, and I feel like this movie is completely generated from AI.
I get that. This is a weird one.
Write an indie film about the daily life of a Sasquatch with no words and have Jesse Eisenberg be in it. That was the prompt.
And Ari Aster, like the horror guy that's done like Midsommar and Hereditary, like that guy, dude, like he's the producer on this. Like this movie makes no sense to me. And I'm also very curious, like, do you really think that, like, there's just not going to be any, like, talking? It's just me grunts the whole time. Like we're not going to get a little bit cartoony and have them talk. Like, it's going to be weird. But it's so weird. And the fact that Jesse Eisenberg's in it, I need to watch this. And I think maybe that's the gimmick, is that I have to know, like, how did they make a whole movie about this?
I think this has just answered our question. This isn't an AI script. In August 2022, Jesse Eisenberg announced his involvement in the film, and he stated to Entertainment Weekly, "In full makeup, in full body hair, no lines, I grunt, but no lines. I am so looking forward to this." He's going to grunt this entire movie.
Okay.
And dude, it's getting a theatrical release. It's not like coming soon at Prime. It is going to be in the theaters.
Yeah, but like how many? You know, like is it just like 100? You know, is this going to be like LA and New York?
Okay, here we go. It'll screen at the 74th Berlin International Film Festival on February 19th, so 3 days ago, as part of the Berlinite special section, South by Southwest, March 11th, the worst day in history. And it is scheduled for a limited theatrical release in the United States, April 12th, before it goes wide a week later.
Well, if it's going wide, I mean, we're talking like thousands. Okay.
Based off the trailer, like, dude, the first scene in the trailer talks about Sasquatch and it just shows them doing it in the woods.
Yeah, like there's definitely stuff that like looks, you know, funny, but at the same time, either this is going to work really, really well and it's going to be very entertaining, or I think it's just going to be a crash and burn. Like, I don't think there's a in between for this one, for my personal opinion. But, you know, it piqued my interest with this one. And this has gotten like so much like publicity that, like, we're a little bit late. Like, I was hearing about this last time we recorded. I just forgot about it. But, like, I've been seeing it just pop up, like, everywhere, like, with this trailer. And I finally clicked on it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's getting around, and it's going to be interesting to see how well it does. The next trailer, though, this is the one that this got me all Twitter-pated, I guess is the right word.
Gross.
Sting. This is a horror movie, I guess a creature feature involving, you know, our eight-legged friends, spiders, and I just feel like it's time for another, like, great, like, spider movie, you know, like a horror spider movie.
The last one we had was what? Eight-Legged Freaks?
Yeah, there's been, like, a few, like, kind of, like, you know, B movie ones that are pretty fun as well, like Big Ass Spider. But like, this is the one that, like, I would say it's probably taking it more serious, which I don't know if you would call Eight-Legged Freaks like serious, but like Arachnophobia, that was pretty, you know, serious. Like, it wasn't trying to make it like, and I guess Sting is probably closer to Eight-Legged Freaks because it's a little bit more on the mutated side of things. But it just looks like a really good time, and also pretty gory and creepy.
Yeah, I like how the trailer does tell you that this girl saves a spider, and the spider just becomes abnormally large, but doesn't explain how or why. And then when she's like, oh shit, that's my pet spider, this is all my fault, she has to go and kill the spider.
Yeah.
So, In essence, with that trailer, for me, they told me enough where I'm interested in why this spider is getting big, and showed how kind of funny it was too. So, but his name is Sting. Spiders don't sting you, though.
Well, the little girl's dumb. You are correct. I don't know why. But I'm trying to figure out when this is going to make it so that we can actually see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's released in May 2nd.
Oh, really?
In Australia.
Oh, see, Australia. It's probably an Australian movie because spiders are terrifying in Australia.
Absolutely right. You are 100% correct on that. Yeah, but looks really cool. I'm excited. Big ass spiders, man. I'm in.
Big ass spiders. Knox goes away. The interesting thing for me on this is that Michael Keaton's the director.
Yes. That's why I put this on there.
Is this his first movie that he is directing?
I think it is. I don't think he's directed anything else.
Like, when did Michael Keaton at age 72 decide, I'm gonna start directing movies?
Dude, when you're Michael Keaton, you do whatever you want.
I scrolled through his Wikipedia and I saw RoboCop, and I was like, Michael Keaton's in RoboCop? And he is.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah.
Which I think I said it before, but I feel like that should have got a sequel, but whatever.
He was the director of The Merry Gentleman, which he was also in it.
The Merry Gentleman. What is that?
Dude, he was in Need for Speed. Holy crap.
Yeah. Did you even see Need for Speed?
I did. That's the one with Aaron.
Yeah.
With Shut Up, Bitch.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah, Aaron Paul.
Yeah, Shut Up, Bitch. Well, that's kind of cool that he's directing. I thought this Knox Goes Away, I thought it looks pretty cool, and he's in the movie and he's playing like a ex, IMDb says contract killer, but he has dementia and so his memory's going. And I think that it's going to be a weird you know, how this plays out, right? He's losing his memories and he doesn't know what's real and what is true, and he's going to uncover it. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool. Comes out in March, and the fact that, yeah, Michael Keaton is directing it makes me even more interested in it. So
do you remember the last time he was a contract killer in his movie? Was he in The Protégé too? No. Well, the one I'm referencing is American Assassin. And
I really
liked Michael Keaton in American Assassin.
He is really good. And that movie is streaming on Netflix right now, which I want to watch it again. So
it's one I'll always watch. Always watch.
It's a good one. But yeah, I'd watch Knox Goes Away. And hey, I learned something new today that he's actually directed before. So thanks, Ryan.
I want to save this next one for last, because okay. I want to talk about Borderland. Have you followed any of the Borderland video games?
No. My question. Yeah, okay. So I never got into it. I had no idea what it was about. I just knew it was like shoot 'em up. Very cartoony, in my opinion. And I wasn't into it. I maybe had played 1 hour total in my entire life of any Borderland movie or game, and just wasn't into it. But it was pretty big at the time, right? Is it as big anymore?
It was big enough to warrant a movie.
Yeah, which
it was huge.
I know it was huge, and I know there's some sequels. But again, like, is it still relevant? Or are they kind of behind the mark on this?
I kind of feel like they're behind the mark. The last game that came out was in 2022, and it was a spinoff. Borderlands 2 came out in 2012. 3 in 2019. So, but here, as of November 2022, more than 77 million copies have been shipped. And then Borderlands 2 is 26 million. So it's popular. And it's one of those things with the current state of video games where people are just run and gun, shoot 'em up kind of thing. Like I was talking about Helldiver. I'm watching gameplay footage of this in the background and it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how big do these... I watched the trailer and I didn't get any of it. I'm like, do I need to play some Borderlands to figure this out? Like, I kind of see this being a flop because I'm the casual gamer and I don't know what this is.
See, I had the opposite opinion. I got everything I needed to know. Like now I actually my thing was like, really? That's what Borderlands is about? Like the whole, they said it, like they spelt it out very nicely where, I mean, space, maybe it needs to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Borderlands. Maybe that's our max mashup.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
But basically you got these ragtag team of individuals that are, you know, I guess this is like the weird team up, right? The people that you don't think should be teamed up. They're not very good.
It's like Suicide Squad and Mad Max had a baby.
Yeah. Or like the losers, stuff like that. It's so, and they're on this mission to go find this treasure that's on this planet that has a whole bunch of like Mad Max type folks, you know, like various factions that are coming out and they're all going to try to come after them. So like, I got it, but they're after treasure. Okay.
So it's a pirate heist, huh?
I guess. So, but like from all that and everything and like it's like very colorful. You know, it looked enjoyable. I'm like, wow. Like for someone that I'm not a fan of Borderlands, like I want to see this movie.
Oh, dude. I'm a fan of Eli Roth.
Oh yeah. I knew that. That was the one thing I kept on waiting for is like, are they going to name him? But they just said the producers of all those movies, like Spider-Man and Venom, but they left out Eli Roth, which that was kind of interesting too. He had to leave, you know, because production went long to go do Thanksgiving. Mm. So he left that production and someone had to kind of like, you know, put the finishing touches on it besides him.
Do you know who it was?
Who?
Deadpool creator Tim Miller.
Oh, okay. So that's...
Director, sorry.
Yeah, that works. I think that's both very capable hands, and I think they have similar tastes. So I think that...
key part right there, similar taste, similar style. You're not getting a Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon movie.
No.
Is it Joss Whedon?
Yeah.
Who is Joss Whedon? Yeah.
Who is we already forgot. He got canceled. We don't even talk about
it. Dude, that guy is like, I still have money. I will hide out forever. And then he's going to make a random rom-com in 2030. And people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
I feel like he still tries to like come back and then he just gets shut down again. So, oh, well.
He screwed up so much. Didn't he do Buffy?
Yeah. That's what I've been hearing a lot of stuff is about Buffy and just how bad it was because of him, which it's just so unfortunate. But what's our last trailer, Ryan?
It's X-Men.
I love, what's it? You know, Nikki's husband, Nate, you know him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just like how I was like, is this real life? He could not believe that this is happening, which does he just live underneath a rock? Like, how does he not know this stuff? Apparently he doesn't listen to our podcast because he would be up to date with all the news.
Yeah, I think he was placating us a little bit, but he's right. Is this real life? It's 2024 and we're getting X-Men 97. We're getting a continuation of our favorite cartoon show. Right?
One of them.
Yeah, yeah. One of them. Yeah. In the same style.
Sharks. Ghostbusters.
Ninja Turtles never left. It just got shitty. And it came back.
And they got good again. And then it kind of gets a little shittier. Then it gets good again. Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy.
But X-Men just went away. Well, yeah. They had X-Men Evolution, and they had some anime one, which you can find on our Super Secret Plex.
Didn't they have, like, Wolverine in the X-Men? Like, they've had some other ones, too. They have not, like...
They suck, though.
Okay.
Like, they don't like, really portray the X-Men. The X-Men is about, like, civil rights. And
yeah, this is classic X-Men here. Yeah. It's like,
and it has, like, it's very... Oh, man.
People are mad.
People are mad. They don't get it. They don't get that the X-Men has been doing this ever since they were the X-Men.
Yeah. Have you gone back and, like, watched, like, the old stuff?
Old X-Men? Spoiler alert. That's my review of...
Oh, that's the X-Men that you're talking... No, I'm talking about, like, the animated series?
I'm doing it all now.
Oh, okay.
Because my recommendation is to go back and watch the original X-Men.
I gotcha. Well, I feel the same way. I was like, man, I need to prep. I need to go watch these old ones. It's been a long time.
I added Spider-Man. I added all the X-Men. So I'm going to have a lot of cartoons on in the background for a while. But I'm excited, dude. I immediately went back and checked the voice cast to see who was returning. Weird to find out the voice is Gambit is now the voice of Cyclops. And someone else is doing Gambit's voice, which I thought Gambit's voice was more iconic than Cyclops, but
I don't know. Can I? So one of the parts that I thought was kind of interesting, and maybe I forget, and maybe it's not that weird, but when Wolverine's, you know, fly, he's running towards the screen and the Gambit gets on his back. Was that just, am I the only one that thought that was odd?
I agree with you. But that was like one of the most hyped scenes of that trailer. Everybody's like, oh my God, look, Gambit's charging up his blades.
Like, but is that like, I guess I don't I remember, you know, with certain games where you would, they would have the, what you might call it, like the tag, attacks, right? A tag team, right. Like attacks, like that's what they were doing there. Was that a thing though, like in the original series that I just don't remember?
Dude, Wolverine has always had those like tag team attacks. Like, I think there's, it's either called Berserker or Speedball or something, where the Incredible Hulk, Wolverine gets on his like arm and the Hulk just like launches him and he's,
yeah.
So maybe this is a new play of, it's kind of weird that Gambit gets on Wolverine's back because Gambit's like 6'5" and Wolverine's 5'2".
That's what I'm saying. It just looks really weird, but like, I guess I see the appeal where like, oh man, they're going to do some like cool, like, I don't know, special attacks, you know, I guess that will be entertaining and that's just probably one of many, but I don't know. It cracked me up.
Dude. And let's get real here. Like, if Gambit were to charge up Wolverine's adamantium, wouldn't he just blow up?
Oh, that's a good point. You know, that was like the other thing, like same thing with like Magneto, like, okay, like Wolverine's basically metal. Why doesn't he just rip him apart all the time?
He does in the comic.
He just keeps on ripping him apart?
Like, yeah, there's an issue where there's a scene of Magneto just ripping all the adamantium out of Wolverine.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I mean, the comic books, so I guess you can always come back, but I'm just always like, how do you come back from this? But he's Wolverine. He's awesome. He can do whatever he wants.
No
he
joke.
Get charged up by a Gambit and be just fine. I don't know.
And get touched by Rogue and be fine too.
That's true. Yep. So this is just awesome. It's cool to finally see like the classic series kind of get revived. Like one of the things I think that I first thought of was like, wow, it's the animation's a little bit different, but I wanted to call it pretty. It was just pretty, you know,
It's hard to recreate that shitty animation from the 90s without making it look pretty.
True. Yeah. Like, they can't do it. Like, man, we've made this as bad as we can, but it still looks better than what they had.
So you're welcome.
Yeah. Cause it's all digital, right? It's all on a computer now. Like I'm surprised they didn't just add like the, you know, 90s effect over it, you know, before dude, like these things were like hand drawn.
To add to that, the funny thing about X-Men and Spider-Man and those Marvel animation Saturday morning cartoons, they were animated by Japanese animators, but they're not animes because the animators had to animate them in a very American style.
Yeah. It makes sense.
So now, like, Disney has to go through all this footage, recreate a digital version of this character, and recreate them to look like anime, but not anime from the 90s. I'm interested.
It's quite the process.
It's a process. But I'm glad cool. My favorite characters are coming back. We got some Gambit. We got some Magneto. You got, you know, them playing basketball.
Yeah.
Jean Grey is pregnant, apparently, allegedly.
Oh, really? See, yeah. Well, I guess that's the other part is, you know, it seems like they're going to keep similar tones, but it almost sounds like it's going to be even more adult.
I like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is wise because, right, the kids that were watching this, now we're growing up in our late 30s, even probably more so, and that's who's watching this, so makes sense.
They're just pandering to us, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah.
So, continuation with
segue.
News.
What's in the news today, Ryan?
X-Men 97 is not part of the MCU.
Nice.
And that's a good thing.
Makes sense. You don't need that connected.
Nope. Yeah, not everything needs to be connected, especially with multiverses and Deadpool can retcon anything and everything that he wants to. So, however,
he's Marvel Jesus.
He's Marvel Jesus. Do you think he's going to bring the Fantastic Four? By the way,
No, I don't think so.
Have you seen the rumors? Okay, so we didn't even get a chance to talk about that. The cast for Fantastic Four has been revealed in its entirety.
Yeah.
No, just the Fantastic Four. Let me correct myself. It's my favorite space Mexican.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
I didn't think of his name for a minute.
I think I like the casting. I think that's a good choice.
Vanessa Kirby is perfect for Sue Storm.
Yeah.
Because Sue Storm to me reminds, she has that perfect like deer in the headlights kind of look sometimes, but she's pretty enough where she doesn't look stupid. Anyway, Johnny Storm, my favorite two cast members on this one right now are Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm. Joseph Quinn is Eddie Munson from Stranger Things. I think that is a prime candidate for Johnny Storm. And then Ben Grimm, dude, you know this guy, right? Ebon Moss? Is that correct?
Ebon Moss?
Ebon Moss.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's great.
He's Richie in The Bear.
Uh-huh. He's the thing?
He's the thing.
That's interesting.
I think it's perfect. I think it's... because he's going to be CGI. He's going to have that character. He's going to bring that what, Boston kind of vibe to the... Ben Grimm. We don't know who the villain is. We don't know if it's going to be Doctor Doom or if it's going to be Galactus. And we also don't know what era it takes place in, because rumor has it, it takes place in the 60s.
That's going to be very interesting if it does.
And how they're going to fix him and move him to today's day is through Ant-Man, Quantumania.
Well, I don't like that.
So there's a theory going around that Hank Pym was the first student of Reed Richards. And this was the most interesting theory that I ever saw, was that in Doctor Strange, they make a reference to the Fantastic Four being like a band. But like they go through the quantum realm and become like super intelligent, like space people or whatnot. And Hank Pym becomes one of Reed Richards' first students.
I don't know. Is this like in a multiverse thing?
It might be.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta be honest. I just don't know about this whole multiverse thing. I mean, I think they'd have a lot of fun with it, but I think it's becoming too much. Like I don't. So far, I don't think Marvel's done a good job with it.
No, I think they've done a terrible job.
Yeah, like Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. I thought that, you know, did not live up to expectations. Like they Deadpool 3 seems like that's what it should have been.
Right.
Now. I do think that will live up to expectations, Deadpool 3, and maybe it'll change my whole opinion on this whole multiverse thing. But currently, the only thing that I think Disney or Marvel has done really well with the whole multiverse is the What If series, and those are cartoons. Now, if they were doing that, and like that would be kind of cool if they just started doing standalone movies and then connected them through a higher, you know, for a more you know, bigger picture and higher purpose, and then they just got all sent back to their own respective multiverse, you know, their own verse, like, I think it'd be kind of cool. But, you know, they're trying to do way too much and trying to make this all connected where, I don't know, I feel like they might need to go a DC route and just kind of let it be separate, guys. Just keep it separate.
Well, we'll find out in 2025 because that's when it comes out. So we got a year to figure out what they're going to do with it. They had more years to figure out, but
I'm sure they. But I don't like, dude. They are really capitalizing. Like they're hoping this is going to save the MCU, right? Like this is they're trying to find those replacements for you know Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, right? They're trying to find those replacements, and they haven't done it yet, right? Everything like since Endgame is pretty much, you know, for Marvel six probably a flop, right? Besides Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I think everything else has not lived up to expectations. So they're really hoping this is it. And like what you just described, though, that sounds awful. I 100%. Like that sounds like the bullshit they did with Captain Marvel. Like you did this thing in the 90s and then she just disappears. Like what the fuck? Like I don't want to see like a 60s versions of the Fantastic Four. At least I want to
see today's version.
Yeah. Like I don't like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to do a 60s version and then you're going to bring them into the present. Like, so you're trying to do what you did for Captain America. Like I just, no, do something new and just make it good.
I agree. I hope
it's that simple. Make it good.
Just make it good. I hope they're not putting their eggs in their basket for the Fantastic Four and reviving it. Cause I think the MCU's future is the X-Men.
But the Fantastic Four is like heavily tied to the X-Men though. You know, like there's a lot that's connected with that. So like, that's why I think it's fine, but it's almost just like, they did a lot. They hung out a lot with Spider-Man and the X-Men, and there's a lot of crossover.
Spider-Man's not part of the X-Men.
No, I'm not saying that, but there's a lot of crossover where like they work together. Like Wolverine's been a part of like the Avengers.
Well, you know, okay, the Avengers and Fantastic Four, the Secret Wars is basically like that. What's left of the Avengers versus the X-Men.
Yeah. See, and that's kind of cool. Like, right? You kept something so secret or separate, right? You keeping these multiverse separate, and then you bring them all together, like in Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. That's a cool idea. And then put them back to where they need to go.
That is going to be one spacey ass movie. I'll tell you what. I want Spider-Man. I'm happy that they're coming back because I'm a fan of what's going on. Not a fan of these theories, but man, when Spider-Man comes back, can we have Spider-Man fight in New York? And can we have him team up with Daredevil?
Well, I mean, I feel like they're going that direction. I mean, you saw how No Way Home ended. Right. And that was fighting in New York. What are you talking about?
No Way Home?
Yeah. They literally fought on the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah. So did the X-Men.
That's true. It's connection right there.
No, I don't need a big space event going on in my Spider-Man. Like, I just need some street level Spider-Man.
What I like is keep the different universes. Maybe it's fine that they are aware of one another, but like it is so, I don't know if it's intertwined yet, but I mean, it is very intertwined and it's just, so much shit's just happening with this multiverse that it's not, I don't know. It's so far, it hasn't really played out very well again. So I hope, like they said, they've been talking about like, oh, we're trying to fix this and right the ship. Right. So what you just described with Ant-Man and the Quantum Realm and Reed Richards and all that bullshit, like, that does not sound like course correcting at all. That sounds like going further down that rabbit hole that they're going in, and the ship is sinking. Just like Madam Web.
Yeah, just like Madam Web is officially a failure because Sony cannot produce a decent Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man to save their lives. They should just give up the license, dude. If these movies are going to continue to come out like this, then...
Yeah, like Venom.
Or I'm sorry. Yeah, give us Venom and give us Miles Morales. Like, why can't they make a Miles Morales Spider-Man?
I mean, they can. I think if they really tried to, they'd screw it up. Unless Marvel is involved. That's the biggest thing. It's Sony doesn't know what to do with these characters. And because they just have all the rights to all these Spider-Man characters, like from that universe, I don't know, it's not even that universe, but that comic, right? Like,
oh, it's called the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, exactly. So it's stuff that's just related to Spider-Man, basically. That's why you have Kraven, that's why you have Venom, Madam Web, and the only reason why Spider-Man is in the MCU is because the deal that they made. So, which, I mean, it's worked out really nice for Sony. Well, actually, I think both parties, but like, geez, like, it's the only reason why they still have all this and they're making these crappy movies.
Why can't we just have Amazing Spider-Man 3 where he has to battle against Venom and Andrew Garfield passes a torch to Miles Morales, and it's Miles, and then Venom can go to the MCU a la post-credit scene, and then Miles can have its own villains in the MCU.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bring them over.
I fixed it.
Yeah. The only one that, like, is probably not going to be good, but Kraven, I mean, the trailer looks pretty good. But
Kraven was pretty badass in Spider-Man 2.
The video game?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I kind of have high hopes for that. Like, they got it right, but the same time, I don't know, not holding my breath because it's been pushed a few times. Yeah. So
I got to clear my throat. Hold on real quick.
All right. Well, the next thing is...
Joker 2 is expensive, bro.
It is expensive. Holy shit! That is quite the difference. The original cost around $60 million, and this is $200 million? What are they doing?
They're making a musical, but I can't imagine a musical is that much more expensive.
No, I bet that is expensive.
Really?
Think about it. Like, if you gotta get the songs written, you gotta have the choreograph, you know, you gotta have all these different performers doing the numbers. Like, yeah, I think that probably adds up pretty quickly.
Includes a $20 million payday for Joaquin Phoenix and $12 million check for Lady Gaga. So
that's a big chunk right there.
$32 million right there. That's half of their original budget. Let's see.
Well, I mean, dude, that movie isn't still like the highest grossing like R-rated movie.
$1.7 billion at the global box office. So until Deadpool comes out.
Yeah. I'm curious, dude. If this is a musical, I can't tell if that's a really good idea or a bad idea. You think Joaquin Phoenix is really good at singing and dancing? Well, we know he's good at dancing. We've seen it. But singing, though, I don't know.
I don't know. You are paying a lot of money for Lady Gaga to be Harley Quinn. I like my Margot Robbie Lady Quinn.
I know.
Harley Gaga.
My wife's pretty upset that she's Harley Quinn. She's like, no! She's not... And I kind of disagree, but she says, like, she's not hot enough. I'm like... Like, does Harley Quinn always need to be hot?
There's a big... Dude, the internet has to... They complain about everything, but that's one of the things they're complaining about. The over-sexualization of Harley Quinn. They're like, you remember when she came out, she was not that sexy. And I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit.
She's like, she had, and I heard her outfit wasn't very attractive, but I mean, she had the curves, man. You all knew. Yeah. She did start taking off that costume. Like, whoa. We're talking about cartoons here. So,
If we're going to talk about sexy cartoon characters, we didn't mention Rogue in X-Men. Just joking.
It's I hope it pays off for him. I don't know if it's gonna be another $1 billion movie though for Warner Brothers, but we'll see. Star Wars Rogue One, the creator director Gareth Edwards tapped for new Jurassic World. Oh, so you got a director for that. Okay. And Gareth Edwards, nice, that's a good choice.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards is a great director.
Yeah. So I like that. I think they could have some fun with Jurassic World. So they got a writer, they got a director, they're all set.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Sam Mendes. I don't remember anything I liked from Sam Mendes. I know he did James Bond, and I don't think I liked that one. But he is doing 4 different Beatle movies based off their own individual experiences or from their eyes. How do you feel about that? Like a movie about the Beatles, but from each band member. Kind of like the Avengers. It's like the Beatles Avengers. It's like you get Ringo Starr's movie. I wouldn't watch Ringo Starr's movie. Like, I don't care what Ringo does. He's a drummer, you know. But John Lennon, I'd be interested about. Paul McCartney, I would be. George Harrison, and then you have your epic Beatle movie.
Yeah, you know, I don't know enough. So, yeah, I think, and they're big enough that I think it's fine. But, yeah, as long as they got content and the fact that he thinks they can do this in 4 separate ways, like, sure, why not?
I guess time will tell how the first 1 or 2 do. Because if the first one sucks, like, why would you go back and watch the other ones?
Yeah, absolutely. I would assume you kind of almost got to start with probably the least exciting one and got to make it somehow exciting. I guess that's my point, is that I don't know. Did each one have their issues? You know, I know there's a lot, but did they really have their issues? And also, how do you know, they're so tightly wound together, is that you're going to have these people interact in every single film. So it's going to be interesting to see how they take certain aspects in what they want in each film and that time frame. So, but if there's enough, you know, why not?
Why not? I mean, you got to be a big Beatles fan. Beatles, like, kind of go through a hype, you know? Like,
yeah,
they'll release a bunch of shit, and everybody's like, oh my god, the Beatles, you know? But now I'm like, okay. I guess I'll see how it turns out. But I'm interested in the Crow reboot has a release date, and it's this summer.
Dude, that's just, it's mind-blowing.
what Nate Sagan?
Is this real life?
Is this real life?
yeah, we were just talking like maybe into last year about like, hey, is this thing actually happening? It's coming out June 7th. And somehow I don't know anything about this. Like, that's the part, like, what the hell? How is this possible?
It's happening. And it's Bill Skarsgård.
He's the new Crow?
Yeah.
Again, how did I not know this?
Well, remember we thought it was Jason Momoa forever?
Yeah, that was the big talk, right? And you liked that. And like, they even did like makeup tests with it. And now it's Bill?
Just it's Bill?
I mean,
Bill Skarsgård.
I like it. So it's just crazy. Like, the fact that, like, you have all these whispers, but, like, somehow we missed that it was actually being made. So, you know, again, I'm like a cat, Ryan. I got all these curiosities, and so I will see it. And the fact that this just kind of like came out of nowhere, like for me, this is probably how movies should be. It should be always a surprise. Like, what the fuck? This is coming out. You know, brings me back. It's like childhood, right? You had no idea what was coming out.
You know what movie needs to come out? What they need to make is The Max. If they're going to make The Crow, they should make The Max. That's just my thoughts, but I'm excited for a Crow movie.
Yeah. I hope they do it justice.
I typed in Copilot, create a logo for B Movies and Beyond, the best podcast in the world, and it gave me a business plan.
That's what it's saying. We need a business plan. We'll save that, Ryan.
Oh my gosh.
This last piece of news, Ric Flair movie.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because from the same works of The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So he made a really good movie called Fighting With My Family, which was about a wrestler named Paige. Mm-hmm. Since you're new into wrestling and enjoying it, watch that one. That's a fun movie.
I did watch that. It's good.
That one's a good one. That has Nick Frost in it.
Yeah, the dad.
Yeah. So, any movie with Ric Flair is going to be a good movie. But they got to cast Ric Flair right, because if they don't get Ric Flair proper, then it blows it away. You'll find out when you watch the Iron Claw.
Their
Ric Flair sucks.
Yeah, that's what I was watching with my friend Colby, and he was like, oh man, that was terrible, Ric Flair. I'm like, oh, I have no idea. So,
oh, just go back and watch Ric Flair back in the 70s and 80s. Like, you'll see and be like, dude, they didn't even try with that guy.
I know. I need to watch some documentaries or something. But like, I mean, even from the movie, The Iron Claw, like, I got the idea, like, oh man, this guy's nuts. So, yeah, so I think it's warranted to have a movie after him. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, he said just after every event, he would go and get hammered and pick up any girls that he'd be drinking all day, no, all night. I'm surprised Ric Flair's alive, but soon. I don't want to say soon enough. That's bad context right there.
So, Peter, that's cool.
That's it. That's our news, bud.
Man, that was a lot. That was a lot more than I anticipated for trailers and news. But we did it! Now let's get into the final
presentation. Segment.
Reviews.
Can I go first? Mine's going to be quick.
Yeah, do it. Do it to it.
I'm doing this as a recommendation / review. So since X-Men 97 blew our friend Nikki, her husband, Nate, his socks off, I decided to go back and watch X-Men content, the animated series, the other ones. Catch up on my X-Men, my mutants and stuff. And I was like, hey, what better way to watch catch up than watch the original X-Men movie from Bryan Singer? For me, Peter, and maybe most people out there, this was the movie that set the standard for comic book movies.
Yeah.
Came out in 2000. Yes, we had Blade. Yes, we had Darkman. Yes, we had Batman's. Yes, we had Superman's, but this is the one where you had a group of people assembled that had mutant powers, proper use of CGI, practical effects, great storytelling. Wasn't just like, here's Superman, here to save the world. It's about being a mutant in today's in hiding and trying to become a hero. So you get really good storytelling. You it has one of the best casts still to this day in any comic book movie. I mean, James Marsden, he's friends with Sonic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Hugh Jackman is friends with Deadpool. Famke Janssen, she screwed Pierce Brosnan in GoldenEye.
Yep.
Anna Paquin, she was in that HBO series. I forgot the name. True Blood. True Blood. Yeah. You have Captain Picard.
Yeah, he went to space.
And he went to space. And then you have Gandalf.
Yeah. You should not pass.
And Frasier.
Oh, he came later, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was he not in the first one?
No.
Oh.
No Beast.
I blend them together, but anyway.
You would have just watched it, Dave.
I know. And they're all blue. Like, I don't know what that is. Rebecca Romaine Stamos is in it. But dude, watch the first two X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was just about to say that, like, those first two ones were like amazing. And then I don't know how it just like, well, I know part of it, right? Bryan Singer didn't do it. He got in his own trouble, right? No, he came back for one of them. But
it was Apocalypse, right? Or was he Days of Future Past?
I think Days of Future's Past. Yeah, I think.
Days of Future Past and Apocalypse.
Oh, he did both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, It's kind of crazy, like... Those ones, you know, when I first saw Days of Future Past, I thought that was amazing too, but I rewatched it and I didn't like it as much. So, but that's just me. And then I never liked Apocalypse and
the reboot. First Class was my favorite.
First Class was really good. And that's what set this all off.
First Class was Matthew Vaughn. Oh, dude. Solid. That's why I liked Matthew Vaughn's. Movie style. So see, we haven't had an X-Men movie worth a damn since 2016. No, I'm sorry. That was Apocalypse. So worth a damn since 2011. Disney has not done anything with our X-Men, but there have been plenty of content with 21st Century Fox for all those years. But the first two, those are the ones, and you get an idea who the X-Men are. Like, what we're talking about with the internet today, everybody's like, oh, it's so woke. Watch those two movies during that time and understand that, yeah, the X-Men are woke, and they always have been. That's the fucking point of the X-Men. That's exactly the point of the X-Men. They're fighting for civil rights, not their gender or their misgender or their sexuality. Them fitting in society for being different because they're mutated, whether it's through family genetics or they go through scientific procedures, stuff like that, experiments, like, and they have this, you know, are we heroes or, you know, are we doing this for the greater good, for the greater man? And I don't know. X-Men and X2 really just kind of hit the nail on the head for what's going on. And I think Disney has a prime opportunity to do something with the X-Men. And I'm very curious to see how they attack this. I think it starts with the animated series. They say it doesn't tie into the MCU. I'm happy about that. But you can tell that they'll use some of that stuff to go into future content. And I think I'm okay with that if they do it right.
Yeah, that's your precursor, right? To see if they can get the tone right and that they can do a good X-Men movie, just like Bryan Singer did back in the day. I think you're right, man. Like, X-Men is the first one that I can really remember. And this kind of started the ensemble cast, right? This is a whole team up, right? This is like dictating, like, hey, man, this works. Like, you can do an Avengers movie. Like, this can work, right? You can have all these people and have a good story. X-Men is the one that did that. And, like, I thought the first one, they hit it out of the park. I think, got even better with X2. Then they had some flops.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Brent Ranner.
Again, you just get a little bit carried away and you just want to capitalize and make as much money as possible, and it doesn't quite work out. But man, yeah, X-Men was just that was just a fun movie. So good.
It was a fun movie.
And you know, here's the thing, like, I don't think it was too like big. If anything, it was actually kind of toned down. Like you said, it was really about the politics of it, you know, mm-hmm. and like, how do we fight for this? And you know, yeah, you gotta save the world basically, but at the same time, like, it wasn't like over the top or anything. So like, it was just the right amount of action for the X-Men.
A very interesting choice of Bryan Singer, because he's an openly gay director. So for them to go in that direction, use a gay director to portray mutants that are being oppressed, I think he did a great job. You know, he did some shit in Hollywood. Who hasn't done some shit? I hate to downplay it, but the sad truth is there's a lot of shit that's gone down we don't know about. But
oh, yeah.
X-Men, it's on Disney Plus, and start watching it out, because you got March 20th coming up real quick.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, good choice, Ryan. I watched, I guess, another classic. I've never seen this series, and it is Maniac Cop. Man, when did this come out? Like, dude, this is Troma. I did not know this is a Troma presentation. And like at first, it's like, oh man, this is gonna be, you know, really bad. But it's not. Hmm? This is, I was really shocked, like this is from 1988, and I thought like all the cinematography, the shots were pretty interesting. Yes, there was some times where, you know, like, all right, okay, you got a little bit of the, you could tell like this is kind of low budget and everything, obviously with the makeup and everything, and even maybe with some of the storytelling, but overall, man, Maniac Cop was really good. It was really good. Bruce Campbell's in it, which I've never seen this, and I'm shocked that I thought I've seen a lot of Bruce Campbell stuff, but not this one.
Very really okay.
Campbell, yeah, very young Bruce Campbell. And the whole premise is, you know, there's a cop on a rampage, basically, right? Going, tearing through New York City, just killing, you know, innocent people, dressed up as a cop, hence Maniac Cop. And they're trying to figure out, like, who the hell this guy is, and you know, so they can stop him, right? And so that's the whole premise, is a detective and, you know, other cops that come into the fold to figure out who this guy is and why is he doing that. Bruce Campbell, he kind of fits the mold of Maniac Cop. And so he's the one who actually gets arrested, falsely imprisoned. And so that's his part of this movie. And yeah, they just got to go through and try to figure it out. You know, nothing was too over the top. Obviously it's 1988, super low budget film. So like the special effects weren't great, but, overall the, you know, I guess the gore was just fine. Again, the parts I thought that stood out to me was just the actual filmmaking of it. It didn't feel cheap, right? A lot of times you watch Troma stuff, like, right, it's kind of cheesy. It's really cheesy. This right. was cheesy, man. Like, they made a straight up good, you know, horror, I guess, slasher flick, you know, not showing too much of the maniac cop, you know, taking interesting angles on everything. You know, just overall how they shot, I was really impressed by it. It was, it stood out to me. That's how much.
What is a maniac cop?
Okay, so this is where it probably lacked a little bit in the storytelling department. There's a, you know, ex-cop. He gets, oh man, he gets sent to jail, and I don't remember exactly why. I think maybe like his family was killed, but in prison, obviously, right? Everyone knows he's a cop, and so like the thugs go after him, the inmates, and just stab him a whole bunch of time and fuck up his face, and then basically someone comes in there and pleads with like the doctor of the jail, the prison, to like, hey, just say he's dead and let's get him out of there, get him out of the prison so he doesn't get stabbed anymore. But the doctor's like, well, he's basically dead. And I guess I'm ruining some of this stuff, but I mean, this is 1988. Come on, guys. But I just barely watched it.
I was going to say, you're grilling our audience for something that you just watched.
Yeah. So because of that and that impact, he has gone insane, and that's why he's the maniac cop. So pretty funny. This is kind of like the whole, you know, almost like a Halloween-esque type deal where like, dude, like they're like, they put in like, shoot a whole magazine of bullets into him and he survives. Like it's that kind of like thing. And there's like three other movies on board. And I even think there might be a remake because it's just called Maniac Cop. It was like done in the maybe early 2009, maybe. So now I gotta go down like, you know, the rabbit hole on this and watch all these other Maniac Cop ones to see if they improve or get worse. You know, but that's the part though, you know, because of the little budget, like the makeup, I was like, well, this guy's like face isn't scary or anything. It just has a couple, you know, slash marks on it. Not too scary. But they did get, man, what is the guy that played the maniac cop? The reason why they have both of these guys though is because of the fact that their chins are so pronounced. That's why Bruce Campbell was in there, and that's why this guy was in it. Robert Zadar, another guy, very strong chins, very strong. So, he is the maniac cop, and he is a big fella, so would not want to run across him, that's for sure. But so
his face, all in all, very interesting.
Yeah. But do you see like there's some similarities to him and Bruce Campbell?
Oh yeah.
But way better than I expected. I felt like this movie shouldn't have been as good as it should have been, especially when I knew it was attached to Trauma. But super good. Need to watch the next few and see what they do with that. But it was a great beginning origin story for the maniac cop and well crafted. So hands down, I really enjoyed it. And I recommend it. And you can watch it on Amazon Prime. I think it's one of those freebie things because I had commercials through it. But it's worth a watch. So if I didn't ruin it too much for you guys, check it out if you haven't seen it. Or just rewatch it because it's a classic.
Anything with Bruce Campbell. And I'm going to go with you on this one. I didn't know this movie came out. And
you've known about it, right? Like you've heard about this, right?
Nope, not even once.
Heard of Maniac Cop?
Mm-mm.
Wow. See, I knew about it. I've heard about it. And I've always been like, yeah, I should probably watch that one of these days. I knew that there's like sequels to it, but no, never got around to it until now. And it was worth it. So there you go, Ryan. I'm challenging you. You got to watch Maniac Cop now.
I will. And do especially it. Since it's a freebie.
There you go.
On
Amazon.
So. I'm still trying to get Copilot to make a logo for me.
All right. For B-Movies and Beyond or something else?
For B-Movies and Beyond.
Nice. I like that. Dude, that first one was really good.
I like the color palette. They want red, yellow, or teal can evoke retro cinema vibe.
Oh, interesting. Did not know that.
Me neither.
All right, let's get into our recommendations. And
yes! Oh! Oh, God.
Oh. Crack your neck.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah.
Get into it. All that good stuff. Oh, man. These logos actually came out pretty cool. I'll show them to you. X-Men animated series. Catch up on it. Even though season 5 was generally touted as like the worst one, you need to watch it because it's the series that's coming out on March 20th is a continuation. So catch up on your X-Men and get over the whole it's woke. It's not woke. It's storytelling.
It's on Disney Plus, isn't it?
It is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, there you go.
And it has been for a while.
Yeah, I think I started watching it when did her. No, I started watching Gargoyles.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. My recommendation is Reacher, the Amazon Prime series Reacher with
Future Batman.
Is he really going to be Future Batman?
There's heavy rumors.
Was it? Is it Alan Rickman?
Raphael.
Richson? Yeah, Raphael.
Or Thad Castle.
Yeah, Thad. But man, he's just such a good Reacher. And they had the second season that just came out. And I don't, for whatever reason, I stopped watching the first season. I only got so far and I got distracted, but now I'm going back and I'm rewatching that season to get caught up and watch season 2. You know, like there was, I don't know why I stopped watching because there was nothing wrong with it. I really enjoyed it. I think stuff happened in life. So I'm back on Reacher. Love the series. Hope it keeps on going. I love, Alan, he's such a good Reacher, such a good Raphael. I think he'd be a great Batman and a great Thad. So excited about that, and that is my recommendation for this episode. Ryan, it's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure, a very long pleasure.
Yes, but it's night time.
It is night time. Good night, Peter.
Good
you have
night.
A fantastic night, and I will see you for trivia tomorrow night.
Damn and I'll straight. See you
for wrestling.
Rawr! Rawr!
Aaron did a good job.
Feature director of Star Wars.
He could probably change the theme song to Star Wars. Pew 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 pew.